Praise God. Well, let's get started. Okay, so this is part 15 of our relationship seminar. And I am going to say this. We're going to start slowly introducing some of the women and our role in the marriage. This is going to be very important for us. It's, you know, the men have been hanging in there tough. They have been receiving the word. And, of course, anytime the word gets involved, we're going to be corrected on some level or another. All of us, every single one of us, my whole relationship with God has been basically that of him realigning me, of him correcting me, if you will, in the way that I was trained, the way that I was taught. Grandma taught it and we bought it. A lot of it was religion. A lot of it was just traditions, you know, of men that they came up with, you know, oh, well, this sounds great and let's live this way. And, you know, but praise God, the word is everything to us and we have the word. When you have the word, you have everything, people. You have everything. It completely gives you access to the complete nature of God, to all the promises of God, to the wisdom of God, the power of God. It gives you understanding. We are not lost. We are not confused. We are not groping in the dark. We know that we know that we know that in whatever area we are lacking, that God will show us what way to go, what to do to get ourselves into that higher ground that we're all hoping to go. Amen? Praise God. Here we go. A true biblical family. This is what I am supposed to teach you. I'm not going to be teaching you. You know, there's a lot of books. I have a whole library of books, like maybe probably about 150 books. Some that even people bought and never read, and they gave them to me. And so I have a bunch of books on relationships, on how to work your life, how to have your children be, and so on. And a lot of it is sound wisdom, and then a lot of it is just like I said, it is man's attempt to walk in a good life, in a better life. But I have come to know people, I mean, listening to, I have pretty much been a student all my life. you know, of course, high school, went off to the convent, learned a lot there, a lot of it of what I shouldn't be doing, and then came out and then, you know, went to the university learning. Then soon enough, we went into ministry. And so I've been learning my whole life, and I'm an avid learner. I love learning. I sit there like a sponge. I look at things, even things that I know are erroneous, because that you can even learn from that. And so, you know, what I'm supposed to do is show you from the word, hopefully as puristically as I can, what a true biblical family is. And that's hopefully what we're all going for. Amen? Praise God. So number one, build your marriage and family on the foundation of Jesus. You know, I have been saying that Jesus must be the foundation of every home. I have been saying that in every marriage, there's three people. There's you, your mate, and then the Lord. You know, and there's no way, people, there is no way. Have seen a lot, have got to know a lot of people, very poor, very rich, middle of the road, people that were very educated, people that were not very educated. And you come to see, you know, through the whole time of your life, different things. And I have seen that the only people that are hanging in there in a decent way, there are people that stay together till they die. You know, families, you know, the children are obligated. They're trained. You're going to be around. You're going to be around. You're going to stay close. You're going to stay close. But, and then the mate, you know, for whatever reasons, a lot of times they don't even want to bother starting with another relationship. But that's not what God wants. He doesn't want us to just barely tolerate each other. He wants us to be in a powerful, beautiful, amazing relationship. Amen. All your relationships, what you're learning here is going to affect all your relationships, not just with your partner, well, hopefully with your mate, and not just with your children. It'll affect everything because these are dynamics, are foundational things that have to be in place for any relationship to go. And hopefully, if Jesus is your foundation, you're going to experience. I never in my life thought that Pastor and I would get this far in our marriage, to be honest with you. Like you, You know, we've had tremendous challenges throughout the years. You know, you cycle in, you know, you cycle out of feeling that affection, that connection. You also, you know, there's stages to every marriage. And you're growing and evolving. Sometimes one person doesn't grow as fast, so you feel like you're leaving them behind and so on. You know, and but the thing is that when Jesus is the foundation of your marriage, if you start learning from the Word how to do this, you're going to not only survive, but you're going to have a beautiful connection. Amen. I'm in a place right now where I am humbled. I am so humbled to God that He didn't just cast me aside because, you know, I wasn't the best learner. I wasn't the most humble person. You know, pride gets in the way, you know, and we think we know better. You know, when Pastor and I got married, I used to tell him all the time, no, this is the way it's supposed to be, because I had been divorced and I was an expert now on what doesn't work. But nobody, I didn't understand that just because you know what doesn't work because you've been through a bad experience, it doesn't mean you know what to do that's right. And this is where ministry and, of course, the Word comes in. Jesus must be our foundation. And that means, people, that if you're going to really, truly build something that's going to last till the return of Christ, then you really have to just submit to Christ. I'm hearing things even for myself as a woman that, you know, are like shocking almost. Like, I'm supposed to do that? Or, God, you made me to be this way? And so it requires us humbling ourselves at the foot of the cross and saying, you know what, not my will, but yours, Lord. And more of Jesus and less of me. Amen. Praise God. Look to the Lord and His strength. Seek His face always. Seek the Lord's face always. Father, we're on the verge of divorce. Seek the Lord's face. This is from a Psalms. I believe, I think it's something like 116 or something like that. But seek the Lord's face. Lord, one of my children, you know, I have lost them. They hate me. They want to never see me again. I mean, they could care less if what happens to me, and they want to just go off and do their thing. Seek the face of the Lord, amen, and His strength. It does take strength to do the Lord's will. I will tell you that. And being successful in the spirit realm is not for the weak. There's no shortcuts, people. This is not magic. You're not going to say, you know, I'm going to be really awesome, and you're good, you're sowing, despite how your mate might be behaving, how your children might be behaving, and you're thinking, oh man, I'm really making progress. And in one moment, you can lose that progress. So it takes strength to keep getting up. Keep getting up. God never counts the many, many times that we fall. He counts the many, many times we get up. Amen? And to Him, there's no... One of the things, in fact, I'm going to read it right now, but let's finish this script here. So, look to the Lord and His strength and seek His face always. Look for God. God will never turn you away. And God is the God of all hope. And God loves you, and His love is unconditional. It doesn't depend on you. Okay, I told you how to do this, Eva, and you haven't been doing it, so now suffer the consequences. That is not our God. He wants to help us. He knows what we're up against. We're all programmed. And that programming from, you know, I used to say, babies are so beautiful, Bill. They're so precious. And he started telling you when I was dating him, I thought, oh, is he the Antichrist? Because he would tell me, he would say, baby, children are the most selfish babies, he would say. Babies are the most selfish beings in the world. And I was like, what are you talking about? They're innocent. They're beautiful. They're precious. They're adorable. And he would say, oh my God, everything is about them 24/7. They get hungry, they cry. If you're not paying attention to them, they cry. Everything is about them. So honestly, we're born into this system that breeds self-centeredness, egocentricity, pride, big, big mountain of pride in all of us. And when you learn the beauty of bending backwards, like steel that is being forged in the furnace, in that moment when you want to rail, when you want to rage, when you want to tell everybody, you know, where they should go and how bad they are. When you bend backwards like steel, is when you evolve out of that situation in tremendous virtue, in tremendous growth, people. Amen. These are two things the Lord taught me along the way. He said, turn your wounds into wisdom. We all suffer. And if we're not taught things like this, then what happens is we become victims. You know, I went through a horrible divorce. You know, my husband, I caught him 3 times with a barmaid, you know, and, you know, I was molested as a child. And, you know, my parents were incredibly austere. My father was very, very, very a severe disciplinary. But you know what? All of those things happen to everybody on some level or another. Maybe they grew up in a rich home and they weren't impoverished, but the parents were always gone. And so the children grew up without anybody in their lives, guiding them, steering them. It's neglect. So all of us have suffered, but God has always made me rise up off those ashes. And he has always made me to stand strong before him. He does not allow me to have a pity party. You know, and this is invaluable to you. No matter what you've gone through, people, no one's going to rescue you. No one. No one can undo the experiences you had, the trauma you incurred, that now are being reflected in your life, in your mind, in your thoughts, in your character, and in your marriage, and in your relationships with your children and others. You know, and so the time comes when we have to turn those wounds into wisdom. What can I learn from this? So that I will never, ever repeat this again. Amen. There are people that don't understand this. And it's so sad to me because they will literally, literally sit in this like a soup, an ocean of trauma and memories and wounds while the whole time. Excuse me. It's very dry over here. While the whole time, their life is ticking away. And what is even worse than us being stuck in that horrible place of trauma and toxic memories and replaying the loops, is, oh my God, I just literally lost my train of thought. Oh, is that you are literally renting space to those people that wounded you, that traumatized you, that destroyed your life. You're renting space to them every time you think about them. Instead of renting space to the Spirit of God, the Spirit of grace, the Spirit of power and might, the Spirit of holiness, the Spirit of new beginnings. Every day we wake up, we start on a brand new slate with God. Amen? Praise God. And then the other one is, to live is so startling, so amazing, so astonishing, that it leaves little time for anything else. Build. That's what God would tell me. Eva, when you finally start living, and you tap into life the way I meant you to have it, he said, you're not going to have time to keep playing the loops, to look back at what happened to you or what was the good old days. Like some of my good old days were my college days. I mean, it didn't get any better. In fact, I'll be honest with you. In many ways, it has never gotten as good as those days. It's gotten better in different ways. But my maturity understands this. My character in Christ understands this. That I am, you know, I'm not looking back saying, oh, if only I could be there and if I had that. I enjoyed it. It was awesome. That's when I met Bill. We had a wonderful courtship. We went to Europe for a year as I studied in Spain and so on. It was just sheer phenomenal everything. I can't even explain it, you know. I mean, we were in Paris. We went to... he proposed to me at the Eiffel Tower. This is when they had it open at the very, very top, and Bill proposed to me at the very top of the Eiffel Tower. Ladies, that cannot get more romantic than that, amen? But here's the thing, though, is that if I compare the rest of my life to that, then I'm not giving room for the glory and the preciousness that God has brought me now in this time of my life. I love my life. My life is great. It is awesome. I am getting healed in my body. I abused my body like a lot of us have. I worked myself like a little beast in the field. You know, Pastor and I worked very hard, people. We could write books on everything we've done. But, you know, now we're having to catch up with our faith to our little bodies and what we did to them. But the bottom line is this, is that if you are living life the way you're supposed to, if you've tapped into the river of life of God, then it's astonishing. It's startling. I sit there sometimes very quiet, very quiet. The recognition is so profound that there's no, woohoo, I'm having a party. Hey, guys, I'm having a wonderful life. It's very profound and very deep. But you start to realize, I don't have time for anything other than life. Live it according to Jesus. John 10:10. I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. Amen. So build. You know, some of you have your building materials for this phenomenal life that God has given you, and they're just laying there on the ground, rusting. Start building, amen? And some of you have just absolutely quit. I won't, you know? And no, tell yourself, you're going to build an astonishing life. You're going to show the Lord that you were a believer, that you believed that he came to give you life and that more abundantly. The word abundantly means superior in quality. And in quantity, there's no match. There's no match. If you were to offer me those days when we were so free, I mean, we had no attachments to anything. We were just living our lives as two young people in their early 20s. If you were to say, would you rather have those days than now? Not in a million years. Not in a million years, because of what I've learned. And my eyes are open. And when your eyes are open, you can see the beauty of every day. Every day I thank the Lord. I like going to the front door and I open the door and I just say, Lord, this is such a beautiful day. Thank you, Lord. It's beautiful, Lord. And I'm living in that place, people. You can if you want to. Okay, so ignorance. Live as if you were to die tomorrow. Learn as if you were to live forever. This is very important, because without the knowledge of God, without the understanding of the will of God, this is how you're going at life. Trust me, I know. I almost killed myself the first 10 years of our marriage, trying to be the perfect wife, the perfect mother, the perfect housekeeper, the perfect minister, the perfect everything, and was failing at everything. And you know why? It wasn't a lack of desire. It wasn't that I was lazy. It wasn't that I was selfish. I was giving my all and then some. What it was that I did not have understanding. You have to have understanding to maneuver through this life, but with God in it. For the most part, we're going at life with God on the sidelines. And he's our bailer-outer. He's the one that we turn to bail us out when we crash and burn. Amen. So understand that, look at this picture of this guy. How far can he go? How successful is he going to be in anything with those blinders on his eyes? Amen. Look at Paul. Paul thought he was the most powerful Pharisee. He came from a lineage of Pharisees and he thought he knew it all. But the Lord literally had to burn off the blindness from his eyes so he could see. He could begin to see, amen? So understand that if you do not go after understanding, if you don't have a desire to learn and see how God does things, then you're building and you're going at it in ignorance. I'm sorry. Like I told you, the first 10 years, it wasn't until my family started speaking up and telling me, people in the church started telling me, I'm like, what? No way, that's not me. I'm doing everything I know to do. But I had no understanding. Amen? like Pastor says, work smarter, not harder. And that's with God. Psalms 37:23, the steps of a good man. We're talking about Jesus being the foundation of our marriages and everything else. The steps of a good and righteous man are directed and established by the Lord. And he delights in his way and blesses his path. We want the Lord to bless our path, but what do we have to become? Good and righteous. A person that's righteous, they seek to do what's right. They seek to believe. They seek to know truth. Amen? Praise God. And then you make known to me the path of life. This is awesome. Guys, we are so good at our GPS, you know, on our cars, everywhere on our phones. I mean, it's incredible. We know how to get from one place to another. Let's let the Lord be our GPS. Let him direct our path. Amen. Because people, the day will come when we will have to give an account of what we build. And even if you build one thing, maybe two, okay, maybe three, that were built on the rock, that were built through Christ, then God will know that at least you were trying. You were on your way. Amen. But we can't be of those people that are ignorant like this guy and have the blinders on. And then we complain all of our lives because our lives are not working. Our families are destroyed. We are horribly sad. No, let's get understanding. Can you build a home without a blueprint? I only know of my brother-in-law, Steve. He's a contractor. And I know Ruben Gutierrez is also a contractor. Maybe some of you other people are, I don't know about, but they will tell you that you're asking for a world of hurt. In fact, it's illegal. You can't build a home without a blueprint that has to be approved by the city. There are codes, building codes, and all kinds of things you have to pass. But how can you build a home without a blueprint? Here's winging it. And here's one with the blueprints. You wouldn't / couldn't build a house without blueprints. Look at this. I want you to look at these two homes, please. What have you been building? Are you going at it, winging it in this life? You know, I'm a Christian, I'm a believer. Are we winging our walks, or are we truly using a blueprint and building solidly, layer upon layer? The word of God says he takes us from glory to glory, here a little, there a little, but he brings us through. And before we know it, we've built something. Amen. Praise God, people. There are no shortcuts in God. All of us have to start at ground zero. You know, for us at ground zero is getting the blueprint. Lord, what is the blueprint? You know, and that's what I'm trying to do, people. I'm trying to shorten the time, your learning time, by bringing these messages to you. We've done a lot of learning. You know, I did a lot of things that were not right, that were not correct, that didn't work. And I want to circumvent that for you. I want to be that person that shows you, look, don't go in that direction. Because I did. So many people did. You know, women, we get together, and this was in the past, in the very, very past, and complain. And I know of some guys that do the same thing. They get together, and all they do is complain about the house, the family, the kids, the wife, you know, and us with the husband. Oh, if you only knew, blah, 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 blah. You know, and so the thing is that instead of complaining, let's look at ourselves and what we're going to build. Amen. That's the only way out of a miserable life, is building a better one. That's a book. And you can't have it, Pastor. So the Father. What is the Father in the home? The protector. He's the priest and the prophet. He's the provider. And he's the presence. I know that nowadays things have changed. And especially here in California, you do need two incomes for the most part. But men, you should take on the title, the privilege of being the provider in your home, the first provider. Let your wife subsidize. Amen. What's happened now is that through women's feminism and, you know, just the sign of the times changing. Women have tapped into very masculine power, trying to make a living, trying to compete with men. And that is not our place, ladies. It isn't. If God wants you to rise up, he will empower you, but you're not going to lose your femininity. You're not going to lose your womanhood. You're going to be able to do what he has called you to do first and foremost. Amen. But the father is the protector. Look, I love this picture. Look at that little child. She is secure. She is saved. She has no idea of all the fiery darts that are being thrown at the family. And the father is there protecting. And fathers, I will tell you the number one way that you protect your family is in prayer. In prayer. You cover them before something happens. You don't pray after something happens. The wise man begins to pray ahead of the enemy, ahead of the game. Satan, you will never touch my family. Satan, I bind divorce off our lives. Satan, in Jesus' name, you will never take one of us through calamity or disaster or catastrophe. No kidnapping, none of that. Amen? And so the protector, first and foremost, spiritually. First and foremost, spiritually. Men, listen to me. Your first job is to be a spiritual protector. That will stop a lot of the fiery darts that the enemy might throw at your family. Make your job easier, amen, your burden lighter. But, you know, if you think, oh yeah, I'm the protector, I've got three guns, you know, and I've got a rifle, and, you know, I know how to use a knife, anybody comes through that door, they're dead. No, because here's the thing. What if you can't overpower those people, but you're a man of faith, great faith, then in the name of Jesus, you can stop the enemy. You can do all kinds of things to disarm the enemy, even if they try to break into your house. I've heard so many testimonies, people, of how a man protected his home without having to go into violence when he was definitely overwhelmed by what was happening. Amen? Protector, he's the priest. That means you go to God. A priest is a mediator between God and man. We don't need one because, thank God, Jesus abolished all of that. Religion demands that you have a priest and all that. But the priest in the home is that man that goes to God and says, God, what will you have us do? God, what direction should we go? God, am I on the right track with our family spiritually? God, how can I lead my family to you? He's that priest, amen? And then, of course, the prophet in that, they go hand in hand, priest and prophet, in that he is listening to God for direction. You know, we're living in very uncertain times. And we need to know, we absolutely need to know, Lord, is something coming that I need to be aware of? Lord, I want to protect my family. I want to certainly myself. And I want to stay with you. I don't want to depart because of something that might happen on this planet. So, Lord, please lead us as the prophet. He will go to God and ask, are we on the right track? Do we need to adjust? Do we need to come, you know, at this in a different way, Father? Open, show me, guide my steps. I'm a righteous man. I'm seeking you. Amen? And then provider, of course, you want to provide for your family. You know, you want to make sure they have a roof over their head. But this is where we're running into problems in that, you know, God has a system where, yes, you are to provide. Yes, you should be the main provider. But God wanted you to do it through him. Covenant. To allow covenant to just decimate, you know, I mean, just evolve inside your home, inside your lives, and prosper through covenant. You know, like I've told you before, I don't know how we did it, but we stumbled on it. Now I'm being silly here. I know how we did it. God was first for everything. And it was trial and error. People, when I tell you that there were some weeks when we had $23 in the offering, and we had to survive an entire week with that, paying rent, and he was a baby. We had to buy food, the utilities, $23, people. I remember, you know, I mean, the few dollars that we'd get in the offering, and how did we ever make it this far? And it was because we refused to compromise and say, well, you know what? I'm a teacher. I studied to be a teacher. I can go. Bill, you're a teacher too. Let's go. And then we'll have Bible studies on the side. You know, we can still serve God. No, we stayed at it. At the ridicule of a lot of people around us, you know, it was so cute. My dad would cut out clippings for Bill on teachers, you know, all over Orange County. Bill, here's another one. Look, you can become a teacher here. And so on, you know, because they couldn't believe, why are you doing this? And it was because we were determined to do this right. But God, in covenant, kept us. We were never homeless. We obviously ate really well. God just supernaturally took care of us. And now we're in a place where covenant is just flourishing. It's incredible, people, what God will do. And at the same time, we didn't lose the ministry. We didn't lose our children to the world. You know, they had their little stints, you know, like all children do. I did, and so did Bill. You know, you test the waters a little bit in the world, but our children are walking with God. We didn't lose a thing that is important. We didn't lose those things that are going over to the other side with us, which is our testimony before God, that nothing was more important than him, that our children, us, were walking with God. Amen. So he's the provider, but do your best now to start believing God for covenant to work in your home. The minute you got born again, you all went into covenant, including us ladies. Amen. We went into covenant too. And if you don't believe me, read Proverbs 31. That's one heck of a lady there, you know, as far as turning things into profit and bringing her family up with her. But she is a woman of her home as well. And then the presence. The Father is the presence. You cannot have a family without the Father being present. I'm sorry. Now, thank God. Thank God. We have some women. Oh, my God. They are going to have a crown so big they're going to need three angels to help them walk around. Because they did do it as single parents. They were amazing. They picked up the slack. They didn't forsake their kids. They didn't give them up. They fought for the family and they got it done. But in the traditional spiritual aspect of this, the Father should be present. His presence is an authoritative figure in the home, not authoritarian, authoritative person. In other words, if something goes wrong, we know we can go and escalate this to Dad. Dad will be there. He will help. He is, you know, that presence that says, this home is not open to destruction. I am here. My presence is felt. And your children feel the presence. Amen. Praise God. And you know what, people? Don't cry over spilt milk. That is such a waste of time. And the devil loves to wrap us up in guilt and shame. And, oh my God, we never did that. Oh my God, we were so wrong. Join the club. I'm still learning. Every day I make mistakes. But you know what I learned? That's actually a very selfish thing to feel guilty and feel bad about it. Pick yourself up and keep going. Keep learning. That's how you prove to God that you're the real thing. Amen? Ephesians 6:4, and you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. We are living in an hour where church is like, oh my God, it's like Disneyland. I'm serious, people. I do so much research on what's happening in the body of Christ, and it's very heartbreaking. And what they do is they turn over their children to be educated spiritually to the church. I remember I would ask my grandchild, they went to a few churches, like three different churches while they were still here in Orange County. And after every Sunday, I would ask her, baby, what did you learn? Was it good? And she would always tell me, well, Mimi, it's a lot of fun. They have a treehouse inside the building. And they made it so we can climb it and we can slide down it. And it's a treehouse. But Zoe, did you guys study the Bible at all? Well, not really, Mimi, but we sang a song. I learned a new song. And no, it's the Father that brings up the training and admonition of the Lord. If your kids are grown up, My goodness, once a week, send them a scripture. Never stop. That's your calling. You don't even have to apologize for it. You know that you're pleasing the Lord and doing right by them. Send them one scripture. You want to see this family. We're constantly sending scriptures to one another. And Brian is famous for that. He finds these amazing scriptures and he sends them to the three of us. You know, but anyway, fathers, bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Start putting the word out. Oh, you don't understand. My kids hate me. Oh my God, even more so. Send him one scripture and just send one little scripture, a kind one, something that'll encourage them and say, I love you. I'm praying for you. That's it. That's it. Start doing it. Don't expect for it to be perfect. Don't expect for you to be able to go back and start all over again. It's not going to happen. Deuteronomy 5:9. You shall not bow down to them, nor serve them. God was talking about other gods. Amen. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity. What's in the iniquity? Of serving other gods other than God. That's an iniquity. And look at what he says. Visiting the iniquity, the sin of serving all kinds of other gods, the iniquity of the fathers, upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me. Lord, I don't hate you. I love you. I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian man. Well, are you serving any other gods? No, only God is in my heart. What's consuming your time? What's consuming your affections? What's concerning? What's eating up your resources as a human being? Whatever it is, that's going to be a god. And what he does as the protector is he's protecting future generations from curses. When we bow our knee and we say, God, I'm going to do it your way. I'm not going to serve. I'm not going to allow anything to be more important than you. And what's the number one god that God says you can't serve? God and mammon, riches. It's impossible. Because riches require all of that. Your resources, your heart, your affection, your time. It gives you status. It gives you your identity. All these things. We can't do that, people. There is a way to prosper. You could be a millionaire, a billionaire. God needs millionaires and billionaires. Money's not the problem. It's the fact that it does something to us. It's a power. It changes us. We can't let that happen. So the way you protect your future generations is by not having any other gods in your heart as a man of God. It starts with you. Amen. 1 Timothy 5:8. But if anyone does not provide for his own, talking about being the provider here, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. So we are called, you are called as men to provide for the home. Amen. And then Deuteronomy 7:9, therefore know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments. Make sure covenant continues in your clan, men, by doing these scriptures. Be that faithful man who keeps covenant, amen, with God, so that that covenant will go down to 1,000 generations. Imagine that. They did a survey of these two men. Incredible. Incredible survey where they had one man who became a legislator. I think he was a senator. And he groomed a bunch of very awesome people in his clan. They were all doing something with their lives. You know, like some of them were lawyers. Some of them went into politics to help. You know, all kinds of wonderful things. And then they picked another man to show the opposite of that. And this man raised a bunch of, you know, drug addicted people. They were gangsters. They were in and out of jail. They were imprisoned and all of that. And when they did the research, the one thing that distinguished them all, they both loved their family. They both tried their best. But the problem was this. The one that develop generations of healthy, godly people was a man that walked with God. And the one that ended up having all these people that are, you know, not walking with God, miserable people, all of this, was a man that did not walk with God. He did not think it was important. And it was a very clear example of how your mind gets affected by God and you begin to think on a higher level. Amen? He just brings us up to another higher level. You begin to understand life, wisdom, and so on. But that's not going to happen unless we walk with God. Amen? And then the mother. She's the joy bringer. Well, is joy that important? Oh my God! It's like the difference between miserable household and a household of happy, joyful people. Amen? She's the joy bringer. We're the ones that make things special. Let's go on a picnic. Let's go to Disneyland. Let's go to the movies with the kids. Let's go walking at the mall. Let's go to the park with the kids. She brings joy. She brings ways to bring joy. You don't want your children to be so miserable at home that they can't wait to go into the world. Amen? Joy. And then peace. She should be of a calm spirit. I am now. I have become very calm. I wasn't. And because it's like a wheel. Picture a wheel, and in the center is the cog. It's called the cog. And then all the spokes, well, these are the people in your household. The spokes are, okay? The wheel is the family. Well, you're the cog in the house. I'm talking about the natural house because Jesus is the center of everything. But you're the cog, ladies. And through you, oh my gosh, you're decimating either peace and calm. The next thing is calm. Bring the calm. A disaster happens, be calm. This one I'm working on still. You know, I love my family. I don't want anything to happen to them. You know, I need to not be moved so much by things. But we are to be the peace and peacemaker. I have done that. I have sought to do that. I wasn't in the beginning. But women, when we talk about our members, like when you talk about the husband with the kids, or you talk about one of the kids to the other kid, then you are literally bringing disharmony into your own house. Amen? But you're also the unifier. Do your best to be a peacemaker, to go in there and say, no, you know what? In this house, we're not going to fight. I can't tell you how many times. It was the most beautiful thing to watch. It works, people. Brian and Andy are still so close together. Growing up, they were buddies, they were friends, but Brian was never allowed to hurt his sister, and his sister was never allowed to hurt him. It was, and you know why? It's because they never saw their father beating me up or dragging, you know, mopping the floor with me. No, in this house, we are going to be people of God. So you're the unifier, women. You are the one, not the husband, you. You are the one that spends more time with the kids, and you are the one that should be bringing unity into your house. Bring the unity, amen? And then gentleness. The house needs gentleness. You know, again, a lot of women are working. They're high strung. They're going through a lot, and it's a really sad thing because the gentleness, see, we start tapping into that masculine power in us, ladies, and we become a little bit more like men. We become a little tougher, a little rougher, amen? And we're supposed to be the gentleness in our home. Our home should have the husband that's the warrior, represents the warrior. We're warriors spiritually, for sure. But them, they're required also physically to be a warrior. But for us, we have to be the gentle force in the home. And then the reinforcer and trainer of the precepts that the father is teaching. He's bringing them in. He's showing the kids from the Word of God. You know, my husband wasn't able to spend too much time because he ended up having, at one time, when sorts at the greatest, was like 230 people when we had two buildings over on Harbor. And, you know, so he's got like 230 kids plus his two. So he had to really put God first, but they were in church and they got fed the principles. And then at home, I would reinforce them as much as I could. Amen. But ladies, we are to reinforce. You don't count on your church to teach your children. And you don't count just on your husband to lay down the laws of God. You go in there and on a daily basis, no, we're not going to do that. The father may say, you know, in this house, we're going to be people that don't fight. We're going to love each other. And then he has to go to work or whatever. He's gone. And then you see the kids starting to fight and you say, no, we are not going to fight in this house. So you reinforce the laws that the husband is bringing. A family can develop only with a loving woman at its center. I'll let that sink in. A family can develop only with a loving woman at its center. In order for a family, the husband can try so hard to build a family. He doesn't carry the anointing to be that heart, that atmosphere setter like the wife has. And, you know, again, a lot of women left the home, that we went to work. I was one of them for periods of time. And, you know, we get exhausted. There's not much to give when we get home. That's why God has his system. You know, I would rather live modestly all the days of my life and know that our family is solid and that we love one another. You know, religion starts at home, people. I like this picture. Look, the husband is holding the wife. He is the first to show the love of Christ in the home. He's holding her. He's protecting her. And then she, in turn, turns around and is holding the family, the child. She is loving the child. The order works. God's ways work. Proverbs 31:26. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. It's a law. It's a law. Ladies, we are under the law that demands kindness from us. It requires kindness of us. There's never a time. Women, you have to understand something. Man has a vocabulary and the power behind his words because God gave him that so he could command on this earth. He's God's under ruler. But women, if we are not submitted to God, and we are not trusting God in the system that he says set up, then our tongue becomes lethal. Lethal. We can say one thing that can destroy some our marriages, our children for years.
Something that, anyways, just in general, for everybody.
Okay. For everybody. It's Valerie. So she has a soccer. Her equipment is soccer. Sorry, guys. Valerie, you came through. Okay, so it's the law of kindness. And then she watches over the ways of her household. You're supposed to be watching. There's never a time when we should say, oh my God, how did that happen? Oh my God, why has he become like that? We should be on it every day, watching, like a hen with her little chicks, watching, making sure they're all there, making sure everything's okay. And when something's off, you need to catch it, amen? And does not eat the bread of idleness. Be very careful of that. Eating the bread of idleness means that we are not being in our position, our critically important position as a wife and a mother. Even as a woman, you should be carrying on these kinds of traits as you walk around in your life. Amen? So she watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. What is idleness? Laziness, distraction, putting herself first, living in a lot of comfort. Be careful of that. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. This is so, so, so beautiful to me, that when we sow, people, every action, every word, every look even, every smile, every lack of smile, every grouchy face, you know, prune face, all of those things are seeds. And if we set ourselves to sow the right thing, there comes a day where your children start to praise you. There comes a day when your husband praises you. There comes a day when you excel everybody. And there comes a day when your own worth will praise you in the gates. You know, I love doing good to my, well, right now it's my boys. I call them my boys, Bill and my son. You know, if I can help in any way, in little ways, you know, if I can make their life a little easier, I'm on it. And I always tell myself, Eva, you're the real thing. Be the real thing. Do a little good here. In Proverbs 31, it says that she, talking about her husband, she does him good all the days of her life. And I tell myself that, have you done good to him today? Do good, do good. Let your works praise you, ladies, amen. Praise God, it's a seed. You're going to get the harvest. Proverbs 14:1. The wise woman builds her house on a foundation of godly precepts, and her household thrives. She's building her house on godly things. Is walking in love a godly thing? Is teaching forgiveness and being forgiving a godly thing? You know, is being kind a godly thing? Well, the wise woman builds with those kinds of building materials, ladies. Amen? You know, we don't build on the latest trend, you know, well, women nowadays, you know, they don't have to do that. And men should be helping in the household, you know. And, you know, we go to the world for all kinds of things, you know. And, of course, grandma taught it and we bought it, you know. But for us, as godly women, let's build our homes on godly precepts, amen? And then your household will thrive. And then, but the foolish one, now this is intense, ladies, but the foolish one who lacks spiritual insight tears it down with her own hands by ignoring godly principles. You may say, Eva, I've never set myself to destroy my family. I don't tear my family down. I want a good family. I've always wanted a good family. I pray for a good family. But if you're ignoring godly principles, you are literally tearing your house down. Because it's got to be built with something. And forsaking the godly principles and not building those into your family, you're literally allowing this thing to just disintegrate. We have to be active. Remember, she's not idle. She absolutely sets her hand to the plow and starts sowing. It works, ladies. When I first started, I'm like, nobody's noticing. I've done so much. I do so much for this household. Oh my God, Lord, I'm trusting you. And look, they don't even care. They don't even say anything. And, you know, and no. You just set yourself to do what's right because it is right. And because that's who you are. That's who you want to be. Amen? Not because you're getting all these accolades and everybody's saying, oh, wow, look at her. She's a really godly woman. No, that doesn't matter at all. It's because you are building. You're a builder. Amen, ladies? Okay, so I'm just going to go through this real quick. The husband's first calling is to love as Christ loves. You'll never get away from that, men. You're going to have to love as Christ loves, no matter what. And I know we give you a run for your money. I know it. And I know sometimes it can be bratty little girls, you know, and I know sometimes we act immature, and I know sometimes we, I don't know what happens to us, we just lose it. But you're supposed to love us no matter what. You know, Christ doesn't forsake you when you lose it and when you stop sowing what you need to sow. Amen. God is faithful to you. Be faithful to your wife. Remember, whatever you're putting into your wife, it's going to filter down to your kids. Amen. You can't love the kids and forsake the wife. That doesn't work. It blows up in your face because your kids, the number one thing they want to see is that you love their mom. That's a critical thing. Amen. Love does not stop or quit because of circumstances. True love changes the circumstances. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is forgiving. Look at this poor man. His wife is losing it. The kids are out of control. It's hard to love them right now. I just want to get away from here. I want to go and have a drink somewhere. Or I want to be with the guys somewhere. Or I want to go watch a baseball game at the auditorium, whatever. No. It's when they are out of control that you come in and do the most phenomenal, phenomenal good to your family. How many times has God rejected us people when we're in the middle of just chaos that we created? What does he do? I'm your helper. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. You can't wait, men, for your wife to be perfect. You can't wait for the kids to be perfect and obedient and sitting down like little angels. That's not life. Amen. And they're struggling with their own little crosses all over the place. Everybody is going through it in this time and age. Amen. Never look at who's right, but at what's right. Well, if only my wife would get together, you know, I mean, would get it together. I would love her. I would buy her gifts. I would take her places. But it's all my wife, my wife, my wife, my wife. The Word of God says, don't look at what's right, at who's right, but at what's right. Proverbs 11:18, the wicked man does deceptive work, but he who sows righteousness, no matter what, will have a sure reward. Amen. Just do the right thing. This is between you and God, not between you and the wife when she's acting ornery and like a little hot mess. No, you do it because that's what's right. Amen. Praise God. There's been times, you know, Bill and I will get into a little friction. You know, we don't get into fights anymore at all. Oh my God, before, God forgive us. Oh, but now, you know, we'll get into a little friction, and it's so awesome because, you know, we'll be quiet to not cause that fight. We just walk away from it. And then I'll think to myself, what can I do right now that would be nice or good? You know, and I try to do a little something, even if it is not speaking up and fighting my battles. Amen. Whatever it is, do the right thing because that's what's right. That's what God looks at people. And he especially sees it when it's not easy to do. When it's easy to do and everybody's looking and everybody's praising you, oh, well, it's easy to do. But when everything is contrary and you do it, you're showing great character to God. Amen. And that he's the one that matters. 1 John 3:10. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Be careful with this one. Oh, my God. This is how you're going to know if you're a children of God or a child of the devil. Right here. Whoever, ladies, that includes us, we're a whoever. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother or his wife or his children. If we don't practice righteousness, that means that you believe the word, you trust the word, you do the word. That's righteousness, people. Amen. But it starts with believing. I believe God. I'm going to trust God. He says to do good. I'm going to do good no matter what. Amen. And, you know, but whoever practices righteousness is unrighteousness. Wait, whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God. So you can't say, you know what? I would have done the word, but I just couldn't. It was impossible. They were a nightmare. They rejected me. They were mean to me. No, you still do it because you're righteous. You're a righteous person, amen? And then the last one is Psalms 1:1. Blessed is the man or the woman who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Be careful who you're telling your life story to. Be careful. Because if you go to your friends to gripe and complain about your wife, obviously they're going to side up with you. Oh man, poor you, man. I thought I had it bad. Oh man, you know, I'm going through the same thing. I understand, buddy. I understand. Or women. Oh my God, he's a jerk. You need to leave him. Do not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. That means you make fun of the family, your wife. She's stupid. She doesn't know what she's doing. He's a jerk. He's mean. The kids, oh my God, I don't know why we had so many kids. Scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. Get your delight, get your joy from the law of the Lord, not from people. You're looking at the wrong place. You're looking for love in all the wrong places. Amen? Look at the law of the Lord. Let it be your delight. Father, I turn to you. Father, I can sense your presence. I can smell the aroma of your holiness, your beauty. I can smell the refreshing coming from the rivers of life. Turn to the Lord, not to people. People will always let you down. Nor sits in the seat of scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. Are we meditating day and night? You don't understand. I have a lot of things to do, a lot of people to take care of. You've got the cart before the horse. You got it backwards. You're going to waste your life forces trying to make this thing work. When if you would put God first, all these things that you are doing now are being guided by God. He's going to walk you through the path of bearing honest and good, sincere fruit. Look, first 10 years, what happened, God? I did everything the word said. I'm even a pastor. I tried so hard and none of it was bearing fruit. None of it. Turn to God, start falling in love with God, and it starts releasing people. That's what the word of God says, and I believe it's in Hebrews, that he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing under heaven. The rivers of life start coming out of you. His presence, his anointing, the smell of his holiness, people. There's a smell about God. It smells like the most beautiful, I'm serious, it almost smells like a gardenia, but not as strong, like this beautiful fragrance that's alive and refreshing. It's just beautiful. In the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaves shall also not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. People, who doesn't want this? If I meditate on God and his laws, then I will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. I'm not going to be a dried up prune. Look, I'm trying. I can't even take care of myself. I give so much to everybody. Wrong. You've got it backwards. Thank you, Imelda. No, you come first. You and your relationship with God. Let people smell the aroma of God on you. Men and women. Both of us, people, our children. What kind of stench do we give off sometimes when we're all dried up and our roots are like totally ruined and spoiled and there's no freshness coming out of us because we're trying so hard in life? They can't judge me. I'm doing my best. No, you need to do it with understanding now. You need to meditate on the Lord and let him help you produce. Look at that, brings forth its fruit in its season. It takes a season. You got to sow. This isn't magic. Okay, I'm going to try this for a week. And if it doesn't work, I'm going to call Pastor Eva. She taught me wrong. No, it takes a season to plant and water. Bring God into it, the Lord of the harvest. Amen. That brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither. That means your fruit's not going to die. You're going to bear eternal fruit. It's going to, God showed me. Oh, and whatever he does shall prosper. We want to prosper. We don't want to fail. God showed me the tree of life. It's a tree where our fruit goes on there. People, our fruit, when it reaches that tree and God sees the fruit that we're bearing down here, I cannot describe the fruit. Different kinds of fruit in this tree. Full of life. They radiate with beauty. It's a perfect work. Amen. And that's how we will be if we meditate on his law. If we learn from God how to do this. You know, we are trying to help you through this. And hopefully soon you will find your own way with this teaching as well. We're going to stop here, people. Let me just see something real quick. Yeah, we're going to stop here.